Growing up, I heard a phrase around our home that maybe you heard. I think my mom was the one who usually said it. She'd say, "Birds of a feather." Y'all didn't grow up in my house. "Birds of a feather flock together." Now, I got to tell you, as a kid, and even as a preteen, I heard that phrase and I thought to myself, what? I wasn't that bright as a kid, I guess. Because I don't have wings and I don't have feathers and I don't molt, so I didn't know what she was talking about. But as I began to age, I got to thinking and understanding a little bit more about it. And I kind of figured it was probably some of her South Arkansas rural girl upbringing that had to have some kind of meaning. What do you think? I don't know. Well, you know, this phrase has actually been in English language since around, y'all love my history real quick, 1545. And it comes from a book that a guy named William Turner wrote. It was a satire, and he called it "The Rescuing of Romish Fox." They spoke a different language back then, I want to tell you. You look at it and go, huh? But if you understand it's a little book pamphlet kind of thing. Mr. Turner wrote a book about these people who remained committed to the Roman Catholic Church as they were gathered together, as he called, like foolish groups of people, like birds getting together, not having a thought for what they're doing. It was really kind of critical when you think about it, what he was saying, and didn't really think about why they got together. But as I grew, I began to understand the point that Mother would try to make. She goes, Patrick, the kids that you hang out with, the people you hang out with, the social connections you make in life will, if you are not careful, impact and infect your life. And you will begin to look like them. And talk like them, and fly like them, and have feathers like them if you're not careful. There's a group of I'm talking about 50-something-year-old people now. There's a group of guys and women that I grew up with that we all went to church together at First Baptist in Mansfield. That church was a Southern Baptist church, but it had a strong fundamentalist lean to it, if you know what I mean by that. Very strict, very structured, very organized. No dancing, no drinking, and of course, don't go out with girls who did, you know. We didn't have any girls like that in our community anyway, because the church kind of controlled the community. But they all were all on the school board and ran what happened in the town. So not much of that happened anyway. But these guys and women, they would go to our church, and our youth group would go to camp every year and all those kind of things. And there's a group of them that still hang out together. I'm friends with all of them on social media. And they call themselves, the reprobates. And you're going, that's a really good description for some people. And what it is for them is a way of saying, we rejected our upbringing and we are choosing to live this way. And I'm going to tell you, they live that way. You know what I'm saying? They're pretty wild out there. But it got me to thinking about how we are impacted and infected, if you will, by those people around us. Solomon, in looking at his boys, had the same thought. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4, where we're going to look at Solomon's concern for his son's spiritual development. Now, if you know anything about Solomon, he had a whole mess of wives and a whole bunch of concubines, so he had a whole bunch of kids, okay? Had a whole bunch of sons. So I don't know exactly to whom he's writing, but he's writing to them and saying, you need to be people who grow in grace and knowledge of God. You need to be people who understand the influences in your life, because they will either aid in your development or they will hinder your spiritual growth. We're talking about under construction. And I want to talk to you this morning about our social circles and how we control those in our lives, because they would either help them grow or they wouldn't. They would therefore need to choose carefully the influences they let into their lives. This may not be your typical sermon for me, but it's a little different topic. But I want you to follow with me, because I think this is important, because we need to carefully choose the circles of influence to whom we associate. Because birds of a feather flock together. Listen, I want you to listen to the whole passage before we kind of break it down. It's eight. Proverbs, is it one or eight? One or four? One, thank you. Verses 8 through 19. I got it wrong on the sheet, I guess. It says this, "Hear, my son," verse 8. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, And forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My sons, if sinners entice you, don't consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Father, I pray that as we take a look at this passage, you would help us understand the importance and the power of influence on our lives. And that, Father, ultimately, we have responsibility for what we allow into our lives. We are responsible for the influences we let in. We are responsible for the things we look at. We are responsible for the things that we listen to. We are responsible for those close relationships we build. And Father, we can either choose to rise above and be with you, or we can sink to the level of those who are not. God, guide us as we take a look at this passage and help us to bring it into our life, into our lives with application. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the first thing I want you to see is his call right there in the beginning. You got to pay careful attention to your training. I almost used the word upbringing. I feel like training is a broader term. But he opens with a section to his sons. Listen to your mama and your daddy. Isn't that just the earth-shattering thing in the world? And we've never heard that before, right? We've all said it, right? We've said it to our kids. We've had our parents say it to us. It's just nothing earth-shattering here. But talk about an original thought. But the writer is calling his here to do, I think, is foundational in life. Because every one of us, for better or worse, is influenced by the parents who raise us. You ever catch yourself going, I just heard my mom's voice come out of my head. Isn't that the weirdest thing when it happens? Or you go, Dad used to say that, or my dad still says that. I can't believe I just said that. In a very real sense, what happens is we find ourselves echoing those words and attitudes and actions of the parents in our life unless we make a choice to be different, right? We let it affect, it affects us whether we realize it or not. In a real sense, we have imprinted on our lives a certain set of actions and attitudes and patterns just because of who raised us. There's certain things you pick up. I get South Arkansas-isms from time to time because of my mother. I get gambling stuff from my dad sometimes. Not going to gambling, but influences about the way he would phrase things because he grew up in a town with a horse racetrack. He would hear those things, and it just affected who he was. Those things have come into my life, and I either have to say I'm going to adopt them as who I am or I'm going to reject them as who I am. But the reality is I am responsible for to pay careful attention to what I'm being trained. What's coming in. So we need to take the good things and accept them, and the bad things and reject them. And if you will, Solomon says, you're going to find yourself on the right path if you are being a discerning listener. But consider the flip side of this warning. Think about those who grew up without a godly upbringing. Some of you, this may describe, you say, my parents were pagans, they were awful, they were mean, they were rude, they were tacky. I can't learn anything from them. Oh, but yes, you can. You can learn how not to do things. And then you ever have the teacher who didn't know how to teach anything and you had to teach yourself in school? You had to learn not from them, but in spite of them. That's the same thing here. We got to grasp that we can learn from the good, the godly, as well as those who are, shall we say, less so. And at times the greatest learning is to discover the better path, the excellent path. But we got to be aware of what we're doing. We got to be paying careful attention to our training. Second, we also got to pick wisely where we cast our lot. You know, I don't have a lot. You do. You have a lot in life. It's called your life. What are you doing with it? Where are you putting it? Where are you placing it? Where are you investing it? Pick wisely where you cast your lot. Look at the passage again with me, verses 10 and following. My son, if, I love the way he said that, if sinners entice you. If I had written that passage, and I didn't, but if I would think it would say, not if, but when, right? But he didn't say when, he said if sinners entice you. When it happens, you're going to have people in life, I have people in my life, even to this day, who wanted to get me to do things that are not right, right? Correct? And what am I going to do with that? If sinners entice you, don't consent. And he goes on this long list of kind of description of how it works. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Boy, that sounds pleasant, doesn't it? We're going to assassinate somebody. We're going to kill somebody. We're going to hurt somebody. We're going to extract from them. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Why did you do that? No reason. I just wanted to do it. I hear kids say that, and I think to myself, surely you had a reason. Sometimes, ain't no reason. You know? They're just mean. Like Sheol. Y'all know that's a synonym for the underworld or hell. Like hell, let's swallow them up whole, alive and whole, those who go down to the pit. Boy, that's just a pleasant experience, isn't it? Isn't these just great words? I'm encouraged. Thank you for sharing those, Pastor. We shall find all precious goods. We're going to steal. We're going to fill our houses with plunder. We're going to throw in your lot among us, and we will share our purse. You want to share the? You want to trust the thief with your money? That's what he's talking about. Let's raid together. Let's take ours instead of earning it. They have it. We want it. Let's get it. In other words, let's make a quick buck. Let's make easy money. Let's plunder. And Solomon tells his son, when that happens, don't go there. Don't do that. He says, my sons, if sinners entice you, what? Don't. Do not. Do not lie in wait. Do not go down that road. Do not go that direction. In other words, carefully choose where you throw in your lot, verse 14. You know, my friends, I shared at the beginning of this message, the reprobates. We chuckled at that name, but they picked up that name from Brother Jim, the pastor at First Baptist. He talked about sinners being reprobates, and they took that as a badge of honor. How weird are they? And some of them were close friends of mine in junior high and early years of high school. We hung out together. We went to camp together. We went to the one restaurant in town together. You know, we'd go to Arlington on a big day. We'd get out of town, you know, go up the highway to something bigger together, mostly so we could drive our cars together. We didn't ride together. We all drove our cars. You know what I'm saying? But we threw out our lot. But I couldn't hang out with them today, because of their choices in life. But we get to choose. Listen, we get to choose who we hang out with. All the choice, you do. You know, there's sometimes families like this, aren't they? Well, I don't want to hang out. There's some family I don't hang out with. You know why? Because their influence in my life is not positive. Does that mean I never see them? Yeah, if somebody dies, we'll see each other at a funeral. Hey, how's it going? Good to see you. How's life? Man, your kids are gotten big. Where are you living now? Where do you work now? See, I don't know anything about them half the time because their influence is not one I want in my life. We have to choose. We have to pick who we're going to let influence us and where we're going to cast our lot. And then we have to ponder the power of your influences. Who influences you? Look at verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. And then Solomon throws in this weird illustration that is difficult to interpret in Hebrew and in English and in German and in French and in Spanish and in every language it's ever been translated into, because it doesn't make any sense. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. He says, don't walk in their way. Don't walk in their way. You say, well, I've got to love everybody and hang out with everybody. No, you don't. We've got to love everybody, but you don't have to hang out with everybody. Because there are some people who will drag you away from the things of God. If I were to call up my reprobate friends, that's kind of a weird statement, isn't it? My reprobate friend, I can't even say the word. And say, hey, I'm coming to town, let's get together. They'd love to get together. But see, they're going to want to get together at a bar. They're going to be ordering drinks. They're going to be hanging out, doing things that, let me surprise you, I don't do. Why would I want to be there? Well, you could witness to them. I could. But I don't need that negativity in my life. I don't need the influence in my life. We don't need to walk with them. We've got to ponder the power of the influences we let in our lives. Let me rephrase this. There are some influences we have to reject outright for our spiritual and sometimes our physical health. They do not need to be a part of our lives. And whose responsibility is that? You can point to yourself here. Think back to the first psalm. Now, we're in the first proverb, but think back to the first psalm. Who wrote the psalms, most of them? Was a guy named David. That was Solomon's daddy, okay? This is what he said. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the instruction of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You don't think Solomon has in his head words ringing from his daddy, echoing through his days. He does. And while he knew those words, he also realized, I have to make the choice. Boys, you got to make the choice. You see, those who would lead us astray towards evil and those who would lead us in evil ways are everywhere. They're all around us. These are the ones willing to kill and assassinate the character of others to get their ways. And then he uses this weird illustration. Did you see it? Put the passage back up there for me. He throws this weird illustration right there in verse 17. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. That is about the best translation that scholars have come up with for the Hebrew here. But it doesn't really carry the idea here. Because in the original, it seems to indicate it's not just a net. I think most birds would look at a net and go, I don't even know what a net is. Or they would just wander on by. They might fall in it. It's an accident. The idea is that there's an enticement here. That you put some bird seed on the net. So the bird will go into the net. So he can be trapped in the net. That's the idea here. And so within that context, we got to ponder the influence of people around us. Because not every encounter we have in life is a good one. There are bad people. There are negative people. There are people who want to tear you down and keep you from living a godly life everywhere you go. Why? Because they're looking out for number one. We got to be aware of it. So how are your influences affecting your life? So then what happens at the end? Solomon comes back at the end of verse 19 in this section and says this, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of those who get it, of its possessors. So Solomon brings a serious conclusion to those who refuse to pay careful attention to their training, those who pick foolishly where they connect, those who ignore the power and influence in their lives. They get what they've gotten. They've gotten what they procured. They end up in the destination that is theirs because they've procured, they've gotten the outcome of their ways. Or put it another way, they earn what they've deserved. Or they deserve what they've earned. The big idea is this. We all sow. Y'all know this one? We all sow what? We reap. So we got to make sure we're sowing well. Sowing good. Because the outcome for the greedy is unjust gain. The outcome for those who reject the leading of God is not life, but death. There are so many ways that seem right to a human mind, but the ends lead to death. So I don't think I've ever preached on the passage that we're looking at today in my life. There's a lot of them I haven't gotten to yet. There's a whole lot of them in there. So as I was thinking about what's he trying to say? I think I understand. But let me give you three thoughts that kind of came to my mind. And maybe y'all can add a fourth on your own after church today that might be what God's speaking to you about. First of all, we've got to be aware of our foundation. Let me phrase it this way. You got to know where you came from. You got to know where you came from. You got to know the importance of your foundation. What does your foundation look like? You know, my parents raised us to be in church. We don't do this anymore, but three times a week, because that's how it was. And can I confess? I hated going all the time to church. You're going, but now you do it for a calling. Yeah, but I still didn't like it growing up because it's what we had to do. That's who we were. But I look back now and think to myself, thank you, Mom, Dad, for not giving me a choice. Not giving me a choice when the day came that I didn't want to be there. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe your parents did invest in your spiritual development heavily. Thank God for them. And maybe your parents didn't. What do you do? You still thank God for your parents. Don't misunderstand. But you have to understand that there's something missing on the foundation that you got to work on. So your parents either build a good foundation for you or they don't. And the influence on you is still something you can't get away from. Let me add, just because you had less than an ideal upbringing does not mean you cannot rise above your past. It just means you may have to work a little harder at it. The foundation may not have been given to you. You may have to go and build it yourself. Well, that's not fair. Last time I checked, life isn't fair. We either having to build a foundation or we're having to shore up our foundation. But think back to the words of Jesus when he talked about the importance of receiving the words of Christ as foundational truth. He likened it to people who built a house, because in a very real sense, every one of us is building a house of our lives. How's your foundation? We're talking about foundation here right now. You go, well, I didn't have much of upbringing. Nobody invested in me. I didn't have a youth pastor who cared. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. So you're out of luck? No. You've got to work at it a little harder to get that foundation built. Because every one of us is building something on a foundation. What are you building on your life? What does your foundation look like? Listen to what Jesus said. Everyone then who hears these words of men and mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. Because why? It had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. How's your foundation? Second, we need to be alert to social influences. I don't have any social influences. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. We all do. Every one of us is influenced by a circle of friends, a circle of family, a circle of everything around us. Every one of us is in the middle of this one. So you go, well, it doesn't affect me. Yeah, it does. It does. We're not only influenced by our foundation, but we're influenced by those we let into our circle. We typically limit that to people who are close to us. But I suspect it's much bigger than that. It is broader than just those interactions we have. It is bigger than just the voices that speak to us. Solomon would say this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Do we need to walk with wise people? Oh, yes, we do. But we also need to be wise people so that others have wise people to hang out with. It's a both and kind of thing. And we have to limit the exposure of the fools in our lives. Yes, because the companion of fools will suffer harm. But consider this. What influences us today is bigger than the people we interact with. Every time you turn on social media and start scrolling through, and I'm just as guilty as most of you, the stories that we see and the videos that pop up and all the stuff that comes up, are we being influenced by that stuff? No, I just watch it. It doesn't bother me. Yeah, we are influenced by it. We pick up words, we pick up phrases, we pick up comments. How about the media that you turn on in your home to entertain you? Does that stuff affect you? Absolutely. It does. Oh, it's just entertainment. It doesn't affect me. Yeah. See, we are bombarded on every side by all kinds of stuff. And yes, the people closest to us probably have the greatest influence, but so does the music we listen to. So do the news sources we listen to. So does the entertainment we watch. So does the social media we read. The news sources we invest our time in. You're going, are you telling us to do a certain... No, I'm not telling... I'm telling you to be a very judicious user of social input, because that stuff affects who we are. Oh, yeah. We change our words. We change our sayings. We change things. We pick up, be a discerning consumer of influence is the way I phrase it here. So what influences are you letting in your life? One last thought. Hey, we're going to finish a minute early. Be available to your better ways. My better ways. What are your better ways? Solomon's desire in writing these words was not to control his son's life. I don't think he was trying to control them. I don't think he was. His intent, and our intent today as well, is to encourage his son to find the better ways of God. To find our lives centered on the things that God would have us do and be and say and listen to and repeat and have conversations about, so that we're reflecting not the negativity around us. And let's be honest, there's a lot of it, isn't there? But we're able to reflect the glory and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Every single one of us has a choice to make. Will we choose to follow the better ways of God, or will we follow our baser natures? It really is the foundation of choice. And you're saying, well, but I haven't trusted Christ as Savior yet. It's still a choice you have to make until you come to that place where you realize you need Jesus to really make it happen. You can either be negative and ugly and disgusting, or you cannot. Because every one of us is either moving closer to God or we're moving further away from God. None of us are standing still, because it's a process. Maybe this is a verse we ought to pray on a regular basis. Maybe make a note of this one for your prayer life this week. God, would you make known to me the path in life? In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. I want to live my life. I pray that you want to live your life in the path of God's ways. Isn't that why we trusted him in the first place? No, I just didn't want to go to hell. Well, there's more to it than that. It's this walking with him. For as we believe God has that better path for us, we can discover us living more and more for him. Does that affect our social life? Surely it does. But let me ask you this. Where's God leading you today? How is God leading you today? Are you listening to his voice? Or is it just something part of who you are? Maybe you're here today and you need to make some type of decision. Maybe you need to make a public decision for Christ. We want to give you the time to do that. Maybe you need to make a private decision right where you're at, and you need to stop and just say, God, I'm not listening to you. Help me to learn to listen. Help me to be a discerning consumer of influence in my life, so that I'm not letting the negativity take over. What else might God be speaking to you about? Listen to him and then do it. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your blessing today. We pray for those who maybe have some kind of decision they need to make. I pray that your spirit would guide, and that, Father, we'd only do what you tell us to do. I pray for your hand to be loose in these few moments. And I pray, God, that you would be blessed in Jesus' name.